This is Radio Kate here at King's Place, and we're here as part of the CLAW Leadership Programme. Today we're discussing, can we get more for less? And can we be optimistic about it? There's been some engaging talks this morning. You might have seen us live blogging some of those and heard some of the audio. We managed to grab Mark Ravenhill. Do you want to give us a bit of background about what you do and where you're coming from?
Well, I'm a playwright. I mostly write plays, but a bit of journalism as well.
And of all the panellists this morning, I felt that yours was the most... you kind of shook people up a bit with what you were saying. You didn't pull any punches. How do you think it went down with people?
Well, hopefully it went down in all sorts of ways, because I think this afternoon is for discussion. So I think you can always achieve more if somebody makes an opening statement which is provocative and has, hopefully not willfully provocative, but makes some strong statements that people can disagree with, agree with. So hopefully there's enough meat there that people can discuss.
And what do you think is going to be the future for the arts and arts funding?
The future for arts funding, I feel quite pessimistic about. But the future for the arts, I feel fine about, because I think artists are passionate. Oh yeah, there's your answer.
About that interruption there.
I meet just as many young people now as when I was starting out, who passionately want to make art, who want to see art, who want to be involved in art. So there will always be a way. But maybe we have come to the end of a particular historical period in which the welfare state and government and the arts were in some way interlinked. Maybe that's ending over the next few years. I think that's a possibility.
So it's a return to real passion and getting people involved just because they really, really want to. Do you think that might stop some people getting involved because they don't have the help and the support? I mean, passion's one thing, but you still have to earn a living and pay your bills.
I think there's always a danger that people don't get involved, but I think that there's been a genuine danger of people not being involved in the last couple of decades, that actually we've relied more and more on internships for people to be involved in arts organisations, which has meant they've often had to support themselves for a year or two before paid employment. And often those internships have been lobbied for by friends of organisations, sponsors of organisations who've been wealthy themselves and who have quite naturally said, could my son or daughter come and be an intern at your organisation? So we spent a long time writing diversity and access policies, and then often open the door for the son and daughter of the person who's given the most money to us. So I think we have to keep on finding new ways to make access and diversity happen, and I don't think we've cracked that yet.
I mean, you don't want the arts to be just for the elite. So somebody else was saying that it's important that we teach our children and to get into the habit of appreciating arts while they're young, so that when they grow up to be the next generation of politicians, they're going to be more likely to support it. But, I mean, how can you get young people involved?
I've always found young people very, very keen to be involved in the arts. And
ladies and gentlemen, would you please start making your way to your respective rooms for the breakout sessions? Could you please start making your way to your respective rooms in order we may start the breakout sessions?
It's a really bad time to do this, didn't we?
Most young people, yeah, very young people, are natural artists. They'll naturally sing, dance, make up stories, act. I certainly did from the age of about three. So you have to be quite active to create an education system which stops them doing that. But I think, we have become, and our national curriculum has become so overwhelming that we've probably have stopped young people having so much expression. But I think young people are naturally artists, and that's something we have to make sure that we can encourage and develop through the education system. But yeah, it certainly resonated with me that it does start with young people and with schools, and that once we've got a generation who just see the arts as a natural part of life, then all else in many ways does follow from that.
And as for today, what are the main things that you're going to take home with you from this event?
I think what I feel more and more is that, you know, there's the need to fight day-to-day tactical battles, both for yourself and for your profession. And some of those you're playing by slightly different rules than you will for the bigger picture, but it's also to keep the bigger picture in mind, and always to keep the bigger picture in mind, which is a fairer, more just society where the arts are very important and are properly subsidised, and that may be 50 years, 100 years in the future. So you're fighting a little grimy battle today, but always trying to keep in mind the bigger picture of the next century, and that's always the challenge.
Do you have a word of advice for any of your colleagues, you know, something to help them remain optimistic?
Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon's sessions are about to commence. For your information, the Battle Bridge Room is back up the escalator to where you had your food earlier. The St. Pancras Room is opposite Hall 1 where you were earlier, and Hall 1 is where you were earlier. Thank you.
That's not your piece of advice. Well, what is?
I think Most of the people in that room know far more about running an arts organisation than I do. I've had one job for a year and a half as an assistant administrator, so I'm not really in a position to give them advice. But I think there is always that strange combination. Everybody in the room loves art, and nobody's in doubt that the arts have a future. The pessimism and the struggle comes in just how we put together the money to make that happen. And I guess that's probably an eternal story for the artists, but everybody's optimistic because they love the arts, and they know that in some shape or form the arts are going to survive and exist.
That's great. Thank you very much. We should probably listen to these warnings and get going.
Thank you very much.